one case on our 10:30 docket, Cobb versus K Publishing. If the clerk will please announce counsel. All right, Mr. Carden.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Your Honors, this case presents what I believe is an unjust shift in the balance of power that is sought to be preserved by the Business Non-Competes Act. The trial court in this case, with its injunction order, pushed the pendulum of enforceability beyond what I believe the statute and the subsequent case law really allows. In fact, I would argue the injunction order actually supplants the objectivity of the statute and replaces it with the subjective intent of the would-be enforcer, in this case, K Publishing. The three reasons that the trial court abused its discretion are as follows. Number one, the covenant was not reformed with a clear connection to the publisher company, K Publishing's actual business or where appellant William Cobb actually worked. Number two, it was not reformed with regard to the nature of the actual agreement. And finally, I believe the publisher lacked clean hands in this case because undisputably the publisher has withheld earned commissions from, he's not paid Mr. Cobb his final commissions check. The standard review is mixed in this case. Obviously, this court reviews injunction orders under an abuse of discretion standard. However, this case also presents clear questions of law for the court, such as the reasonableness of the covenant not to compete. And as that is a question of law, this court will review those conclusions by the trial court de novo. Your Honor, when examining the plaintiff's business or the defendant's work area, I believe the clearest statement is by the publisher's representative, Stephen Ellis, in the record of the hearing transcript, page 55, where Mr. Ellis clearly says, "I'm not in the market. I'm not in this market," and this market being the Aledo, Weatherford portion of Parker County, which is where Mr. Cobb went to after he left Mr. Ellis's employ as an independent contractor, and I believe that's a key point in this case. There's no dispute that Mr. Ellis wanted to take his business there at some point in the future, but there's also no dispute that he had not done so. I don't believe the intent of the employer to someday expand can constitute part of what a reasonable geographic limitation, or otherwise you would have every employer in the world announcing their intent to take over the world, so to speak, and therefore be able to enforce these covenants not to compete in a similar overbroad scope. In this particular case, the language is completely global. Mr. Cobb, the contractor, agrees he will not work for a competing third party for 1 year. He will not start a publication outside of the company for 1 year, period. Doesn't matter where in the world he travels, the language of that is clearly overbroad. And the trial court recognized that. Judge Farrar said, you know, it's clearly overbroad, and he exercises his authority to reform it. But when he does that, instead of looking at where K Publishing actually publishes, where William Cobb actually worked, he decided that because Mr. Cobb freely admitted he intended to go out somewhere and start his own publication someday, and because he had been thinking about that and had actually taken the drastic step of filing a doing business as at the county courthouse, that was unconscionable.
So under the trial court's order, were specific counties enjoined, or was it all counties?
It was specific counties, Your Honor. It was Johnson County, which is where that's K Publishing's home base. We've got no objection to that. Mr. Cobb had no intent of competing in Johnson County. The second portion of the order dealt with really just the cities of Aledo and Weatherford, which are the primary market holders, as the testimony in the trial court level. There's no dispute about that. That's the primary market in Parker County.
So your client's enjoined from operating in those three areas.
That's correct.
And so your position is that you're asking this court to actually reform the covenant not to compete and then to reform the injunction based on that?
That's correct, Your Honor. To simply disagree with the court's reformation for the reason that the trial court's reasoning didn't match the case law. That when the case law talks about whether it's Gooden versus Joliffe or Alan Richardson, the geographic scope is something that has to match what the business actually did. It's supposed to be a no greater restraint than necessary when you look at what that business was. What that business was a local advertising publication limited to Johnson County. The testimony at the trial level was you can't compete. You can't even compete with K Publishing unless you publish in Johnson County.
Johnson County and Park County are not contiguous.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Because Hood County and Tarrant County are between them.
Yes, Your Honor, and my map reading, I haven't looked lately. There might be a corner that touches or something, but they're not. And even the way that this business is conducted, it's done by direct mail to cities or a specific targeted list within the county. So the crossover doesn't exist. Now, there was Mr. Jones's brief has pointed out that there were advertisers that Mr. Cobb targeted that advertised in K Publishing. That's still not competing because he's not saying don't publish in Johnson County, only publish in Parker. He's saying I have a new publication in Parker County. Come publish over here with me. Honor your contract. He's not encouraging them to walk away from K Publishing. You can't publish in Mr. Cobb's publication in Parker County and reach that market. They're very, very localized. And so when Judge Farrar announced that his basis for ruling that Weatherford and Alito would be excluded, it was because that's where Mr. Cobb worked and because that's where he wanted to go work and started making plans to do that was an unconscionable thing to do. And I asked Judge Farrar at the very, very end, I said, is that based on this court finding that Mr. Cobb was an employee? And he said, no, I believe the evidence shows he's a 1099 employee. I don't know what that is. You're either a contractor with corresponding duties and things that you're required to honor, or you're an employee, which does carry with it a heightened duty. But the idea that an independent contractor who, by the agreement, is not even required to work full-time for his employer, so to speak, that he has a duty not to go think about what he's going to do next, I can't see that rising to the level of unconscionable behavior. The contractor agreement makes it abundantly clear. You, Mr. Cobb, are not an employee. Don't even think about being an employee. It says it a number of different ways. I'm not saying that an independent contractor can't be bound by a non-compete, but I'm saying when you have a global non-compete and you're approaching it, again, from the outside, if you just look at the case law, how are we going about to interpret this? Well, let's look at where K Publishing publishes. They publish in Johnson County. Subjective intent that says, I've looked at the demographics in Alito and Weatherford, just like I've looked at them in Tyler, just like I've looked at them in Highland Park and Mansfield and the other places Mr. Ellis agreed that he had looked. Just looking and thinking about someday when the magazine makes enough money, maybe I'll go into Alito to do this kind of work, I don't believe arises to the objective level of reasonable certainty that the statute requires. Because if not, it's all too easy to say, yes, I intend to go into that market where you, former contractor, have just gone.
What about the fact that the contractor agreement includes a bunch of different items that remain confidential? Weren't they also seeking to enforce that provision of the covenant?
Yes, Your Honor, they were. And the record, I would say the record remains a little undeveloped at this point on that issue. And I will say that's not my strongest argument here today, except that there was certainly a great deal to question about just how much confidential information there really was in this case. If you want to know who Mr. Ellis's company hires him to advertise for, you can get his magazine anywhere, and you can look at it and see who his advertisers are. The confidential information has its limits in the sense that any worker who goes somewhere is going to wind up with acquired on-the-job skill. The testimony below shows that Mr. Cobb's not using any of the vendors that K Publishing had to put out his magazine in Parker County, that He couldn't use, he didn't take with him demographic data. That's something Mr. Ellis, the publisher, agreed was accessible to anyone who knew where to look. So Your Honor is correct in saying that there is a question of whether there's confidential information, but that really goes to the ancillary agreement that this covenant is supposed to be linked to for it to be enforceable anyway. After Light and Sheshinoff, of course, that's what we look for. Is there some sort of enforceable promise, even in an at-will situation, that says we can use that promise to support, as the ancillary agreement, this particular non-compete? But again, it's not specialized knowledge that would allow Mr. Cobb to do anything that he wouldn't otherwise be legally allowed to do. In other words, he should be legally blocked from competing in K Publishing's market. That, I believe, is the holding of Alan Richardson, of Curtis. Where the employee has worked or where the company has worked, you look at those areas. And sometimes you don't even look at where the employer has worked. That was the holding in Evans World Travel versus Adams. It said, that covenant said, you're limited to two counties, you're limited to the state of Texas, and anywhere that we do business. And the court said, that's too broad, because there was no evidence that the employee had actually done business there. Now, in this particular case, I don't think the court needs to reiterate that holding, because the evidence undisputedly is that K Publishing published in one market, Johnson County. Mr. Ellis freely admitted, I'm not in the market of Parker County. And that's where Mr. Cobb sought to go. On the issue of clean hands, I provided the court with a few, they're older cases, but I found them fascinating. One of them was actually about a covenant not to compete. The employer had modified the terms of compensation, and the court looked at what the employer had done and how immediately after this employee left and sought to compete, said, I'm sorry, employer, you didn't come to the table with clean hands. You didn't approach us with clean hands. You don't get the benefit of your bargain if you're not going to honor the terms of it yourself. In this particular case, Mr. Cobb submitted a payment request for actual sales, not residual sales, which is a separate issue in this matter, and we're not asking for residual sales. He received actual sales. K Publishing received actual money. He submitted his payment request, as always, and K Publishing refused to pay him and still continues to refuse to pay him. Their argument is, well, someone else is now, that you've sold those ads, someone else is going to have to come in and manage that account. Well, that's not in the contractor agreement. Mr. Ellis admitted that's not in the contractor agreement. You sell ads, you get paid your commission. Mr. Cobb has not received the benefit of his bargain, and yet Mr. Ellis, through K Publishing, is seeking to enforce the covenant not to compete in its entirety. I don't believe that's equitable. And there was a bunch of testimony there about LASIK eye surgery and everything else. I believe the record still remains a little undeveloped. This was an injunction hearing, after all. But ultimately, the request for payment went out for commissions earned, was not paid. I don't believe the plaintiff has come to court at the trial court with clean hands. And as such, I think that weighs in the balance of enforcing this covenant in the way that it should be enforced, which is to limit K Publishing to where it actually published at the time the injunction order was entered.
Did the plaintiff file a counterclaim regarding their claims for some offsets?
Yes, Your Honor. We've pled breach of contract, and
okay.
I need to go back and look and see what else, but yes, there is a counterclaim there.
Okay.
Any other questions, Your Honors? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Carden. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I'd first like to start by saying that the standard here, as we all know, is to determine whether it's an abuse of discretion by Judge Farrar. And Judge Farrar made a very careful analysis of the facts here. I think a very important point is that his comment about the unconscionability related in the terms of how it was stated in the court related to the actual injunction hearing. Mr. Cobb, during the course of the injunction hearing, was not truthful in his testimony. He was caught in that, and Judge Farrar found his actions to be unconscionable. He also determined that he had directly competed with his employer while he was working for him in contradiction of his contract that he had with him. A couple of the quick points that I'll make here. Let's talk about the market real quickly. We talk about doing business. Doing business for a publisher is not just actually publishing the publication. Even Mr. Cobb in his testimony talked about the enormous lead-up that's necessary in order to publish. You have to go to the county. You have to do extensive research. You have to do research to determine what markets there are and which markets may be viable. You have to determine which advertisers may be there. Contact those advertisers. Determine whether or not you have competition in the market. What's that competition? And there's testimony that Mr. Ellis, the owner of K Publishing, was in active negotiations with somebody in Parker County to determine whether or not he could actually purchase one of an existing publication, in addition to doing extensive market research, in addition to spending time there. He shared all this with his employee, with his at-will employee, with contract employee. He shared that with him. He shared this information with him and engaged him in that same process. So then Mr. Cobb took this information that he learned from Mr. Ellis, and he took it and began competing with him prior to actually leaving his employment or his working under his contract. I would say that there's never any indication of taking over the world here. I think Judge Farrar was very careful in reforming the agreement. We pled for reformation. We asked for that, and we also put on testimony regarding what would be reasonable for reformation. And in fact, the common theme seems to be is often they'll go county by county, as I think we've kind of been talking about. But in this case, it was even more limited. It was limited down just to two cities in one county. And so those were very careful considerations on the part of Judge Farrar in terms of how to limit this and to put a proper perspective on it. He did it based specifically on where negotiations had taken place, where the markets were that they had investigated, where they had done their research, and where they were planning on doing this work. They had put an enormous amount of work into to getting this going. So to call doing business only actually publishing the magazine is not correct. And as I said, even look to Mr. Cobb's testimony where he talks about how much work goes into preparing and getting this all ready and ramping it up so that you can actually go out and publish. There are, and I think Judge Livingstone mentioned that, you know, there are confidential items that were involved here. It involved the research that was done, involved the people who were actually customers of this company. And the record shows that Mr. Cobb went out and actually took customers that were present customers of his employer / contract employer that he had, and he actually went into those people and solicited them and got their business before leaving. And so, you know, in terms of looking at the contract itself, I mean, the contract also has provisions that require him to not he has to give his full efforts to doing what is necessary and so on and so forth. And there's testimony to show that during the time that he was working for Kay, he basically stopped doing work for them, and which damaged their ability to in turn go and open this new market because he stopped soliciting sales in Johnson County, and sales went down. And they started wondering, well, what's going on? Why is this happening?
Would you respond to the argument about withholding commissions or withholding
sure.
payment?
There was evidence at the trial court regarding that. The back and forth on that basically boils down to that, among other things, there was a LASIK eye surgery that Mr. Cobb wanted to have. This LASIK eye surgery, he basically went to one of the customers of the magazine that did LASIK eye surgery and basically cut a deal so that he could go get this LASIK eye surgery done in return for the giving him advertising, in essence. And so, in essence, this cost Ellis, Mr. Ellis and K Publishing some $3,500, which was never reimbursed and, in fact, was only found out by Mr. Ellis in terms of the total amount of the expense at a later date. So, I mean, the offset is pretty extraordinary. It's probably about 6 or 7 to 1 in terms of if there were some question about whether or not there are commissions owed. In addition, there's a significant question about whether or not he just completely diverted his time and energy from Johnson County, stopped getting any further business there, thereby damaging his Mr. Ellis and K Publishing further. We don't know the extent of that. We don't know how much that was, and that hasn't been determined yet. That's a factual issue that's still to be determined. But needless to say, there are quite a few offsetting and counterweighing issues that come into play versus an
but
amount.
But he wasn't on salary, right?
No.
He was only paid on commission, so.
Correct.
If he didn't produce, he didn't get paid. So it wasn't as though he were being paid for doing something he didn't do.
No, but but at the same time, if he stopped soliciting and getting business in Johnson County, that made their business go down. They lost business because he was out getting business for himself and preparing to go to Parker County. And by doing that, we don't know how much money was lost in that regard. In addition, you have the issue of the LASIK eye surgery and the approximately $3,500 there. So these things need to be balanced out somehow, and Judge Farrar took that into account, I believe, when he was reviewing this. And in determining that and making this decision, he looked at, I think, all the factual issues and then reformed the agreement in a way that made sense, and made sense in terms of what the parties had actually done and the business that was actually being conducted. Any further questions?
I guess not.
Thank you very much for your time. It's good to see all of you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Carden, rebuttal.
Very briefly, Your Honor.
I think the most disturbing thing is the idea that Mr. Cobb actually went out and was operating his own business in direct competition with K Publishing. Mr. Jones's brief points out that what he cites to is a reference to this media kit, which is basically an advertising packet, how you go solicit people to advertise in your publication. Mr. Ellis understood that the media kit had been circulating for 3 or 4 months, and yet when pressed on page 60 and 61, he admitted he had zero personal knowledge of when that media kit first appeared. Mr. Cobb testified it didn't come out until October, which was a few weeks after he left Mr. Ellis's employ. Justice Dofano, I think you again hit on what really bothers me is this concept of damaging Mr. Or K Publishing's business. As an independent contractor, I'm trying to figure out how you do that. If your inactivity is the only thing that questions whether you get paid, there's not an employee-employer relationship here. If K Publishing wants an employer-employment relationship, they should put that into their contracts. They claim this is an independent contractor relationship. If you don't work, you don't eat, essentially, commissions. There's no best efforts requirement in the contract. There's no full-time requirement in the contract. The arrangement is the arrangement. It says this is the entire understanding of the parties. And so the forming of the DBAs, filing of the DBAs did take place before he left. But again, as the record shows, Mr. Cobb told K Publishing in July, 3 months before he started his own publication, actually published his own publication, that he intended to leave and he wanted to be in an ownership position of his own magazine someday. The LASIK issue came up for the first time as part of this lawsuit. There was no demand for reimbursement prior to that. It was something that Mr. Ellis, on behalf of K Publishing, sanctioned, and is, of course, now an issue, now that everything's an issue, as it would be in a lawsuit. I do not believe the legal standard for reformation was followed at the trial court level, and that's why we're here. If it was purely an equitable issue, I think there's room for argument. There's always room for argument when it's equity. But if the legal standard is the reasonableness of this covenant and the reasonableness of the reformation, I believe Judge Farrar got the law wrong, and that this court should reverse that decision as to the Parker County area. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Carden. Mr. Jones, we appreciate your arguments today. Your case is submitted, and we will now adjourn court.